Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Hilton Head Island Bluffton Chamber's Five Questions With podcast. This is the place we take a deep dive with thought leaders from around our region. In this episode, we're going to sit down with Hilton Head's own Chris Shimbra. USA Today called Chris America's Gratitude Guru. He's the founder and chief question asker for the 747 Club. He's also a best-selling author of Gratitude and Pasta, The Secret Sauce for Human Connection. It really chronicles his adventures as one of the most sought-after dinner hosts in the world, and you'll find out why. The book was named the number two book of 2020 to create human connection by Forbes magazine. So let's get started. So Chris, let's talk about how it all began. You know, what led you to working with over 170 companies, the 747 Club? How did it all start? How did this phenomenon sort of begin?
You know, Charlie, it all began in July of 2015. So many of us in this life, we walk around putting on a happy face, pretending like we're doing everything that we're meant to be doing in life, right? Everything could look good on paper, as mine did in July of 2015. But it took coming back from a trip to Italy that I realized that just because something looks good on paper doesn't mean it feels good in the heart. So if you looked at my life then, I had all the right strappings of success. I had a successful career in show business, traveling around the world, producing Broadway plays. My life looked fine and dandy. But in Italy, things changed. Really, Rome changed my entire perspective on life. It was the food, it was the culture, it was the history, it was the nostalgia, it was the way they walked. And when I got back to New York City, I realized this ain't it. I felt four things in that moment: lonely, unfulfilled, disconnected, insecure. And the last time I'd felt those four things, and many islanders remember, my deep, dark chapter of suicide, depression, jail, and rehab. And I figured I didn't want to go back.
What a juxtaposition.
Yeah, it was a wake-up call, but I was grateful for it. I mean, I remember driving around Italy. We were staying at the U.S. Embassy. We had I had a private driver for the week, and the driver's daughter was working for the promoter of the show that we were working on over there. And I asked him about his daughter's position, and he was really flabbergasted. He said, "You know, she's not very happy. She's living someone else's dream." And that's the moment that I realized that I too was living someone else's dream. And I had a voice that needed to be heard. And so back in my apartment in New York City, I started thinking, what was it about Italy that changed my life? Really, beside that moment, it was the food. So I started playing around in my kitchen, accidentally created a pasta sauce recipe, and figured we should probably feed it to people, see if it's even good or not.
There's nothing like breaking bread.
Yeah. So we started gathering people night after night, week after week, month after month. A ritual began. And we realized that when people come together and share in these vulnerable, honest, meaningful conversations, they come alive and they get inspired to go out and do meaningful work in their life. And that's what I found. I found that type of connection. And I realized that I would dedicate the rest of my life to it.
So what makes that dinner different? You know, we all go to dinners. We've all sat around a dinner table. I know you've done these dinners in the middle of Times Square. So what makes it different? What is it?
When you look at a dinner table, there's many elements that go into it. There's the table setting. There's the food. There's the ambiance. There's the people. There's the host. And upon further inspection, we realized it wasn't the pasta sauce at all that was having that transformational impact. It was what we talked about at every dinner. See, at the very first dinner, we asked a simple question. If you could give credit or thanks to one person in your life that you don't give enough credit or thanks to, who would that be? And we found that by asking that, it gave people permission to acknowledge that they've received value from others. And when you spent an entire dinner conversation talking about others more than you talked about yourself, you would create this posture of openness. You would literally create a calling card for connection. And at those very first dinners, when there were just 18 people for free in our home in New York City, if less than six people cried, we considered it a failed night. And so we knew we were onto something. We knew that these people were coming and they were having these life-changing moments and they were leaving the dinner table to go out and pursue lives of passion. They were being inspired to take action on things that they hadn't said yes to ever that was right in front of them. And so we realized that the topic of gratitude was something that we can dive into because, you know, gratitude's been around for millennia. You know, gratitude started with rhesus monkeys and food sharing and grooming and all those kind of things. And it survived as a virtue for so many years. But science has finally caught up and proven that gratitude improves well-being. It develops pro-social relationships and actually rewires your brain, broadens and builds your thought action repertoire needed for positive affect, part of positive psychology. So when you induce people into that in a 3-hour micro intervention around the dinner table, people go out and do epic shit.
What I think is really fascinating is that you've managed to do this and translate this into a corporate world,
yeah,
which is not necessarily the place we often find authenticity, right? Mm-hmm. There's a great quote on your website, Chris. It says, stop doing surface level team building and client engagement and start investing in real experiences that change lives for the better. How can a business apply for a better business relationship? How does that translate into business? How have you been able to bring that same concept to around a business interaction?
Yeah, so it's interesting. There's really two different places that we play in. One side of the coin is team building, culture. The other side is external relationships, clients, partners, industry thought leaders. So on the internal side, PwC did a study recently that showed that for every dollar you spend on employees' emotional well-being yields $2.36 back in productivity. Peer-to-peer gratitude, when you can get people around a dinner table that are on some team or from different teams, you know, across divisions, when they can share gratitude around that dinner table, you increase retention, productivity, creativity, innovation, all that kind of good stuff. So we threw our product into that market. The other side is client engagement. Google found in their B2B, their study of B2B brands found that when you bring emotion into a business transaction, you 5x the impact of thinking about getting the deal, you 13x the impact of getting the deal, and you 30x the impact of that client paying a premium. So when you don't just be seen for product or price, but you can be seen for the people. Remember, Guy Youssef says, people buy from people, not from companies.
True.
And if you can bring that type of interpersonal relationship and actually inspire them to do better in their life, they're going to remember that forever and they're going to be loyal. They're going to promote more, buy more, spend more.
Which is a great winning combination.
That's a great combo if you ask me.
Well, let's talk about, if you want to talk about vulnerability and realness in business. Mm. Well, let's talk about 2020.
Yeah.
What a year.
What a bitch.
What a year. So it's done a lot. It's upended so much in our lives. And obviously it's upended what you're doing as well. What, in your eyes, what's the silver lining to 2020?
Oh, yeah. There's a silver lining and there's a message of hope. And my message of hope is that long after coronavirus has passed on and we get back to some semblance of what life is, we can remember what we learned through COVID-19. Because I think that people have gone through a large awakening, but we just have to reinforce that awakening when we get back to our daily routines. If you study history, this isn't the largest thing our world has gone through. We've survived greater plagues, greater pandemics, greater periods of social unrest.
Very true.
And we've gotten through it. History is our greatest teacher. We'd be fools to ignore it. If you study what happened in Europe after the great plagues, the bubonic plague of the 1490s, you have the great enlightenment of the Italian Renaissance. So, innovation, creativity is probably at an all-time high because creativity loves constraints. People have been forced to innovate. People have been forced to pivot.
Forced to change. Our favorite thing.
Now, here's the catch 22. It's created a disconnection. The rich have gotten richer. The poor have gotten poorer. The creatives have gotten more creative. The people that are dealing with a less than normal hand that they've been dealt aren't faring as well as others. And so in looking ahead to the future, not only have we had the opportunity to do good for ourselves, but we have to have the responsibility to do good for others. There's no greater time than now to reach across the aisle and develop empathetic, understanding relationships with people who are different than you. Whether it's a someone who lives in a slum of Mumbai, who has an internet connection, connect with them. Ask them how their day is going. That's empathy. See what you can build that serves them, not yourself. Right? The great African quality of Ubuntu is the opposite of what we're dealing with right now. We live in a Cartesian age world of I think, therefore I am. We live in an individualistic society. The Africans have an Ubuntu culture where I am because you are.
Hmm.
It's a we thing. And Doc Rivers actually used Ubuntu as the word that that propelled him to those great Boston Celtics NBA basketball championships in the early 2000s. So if we can create cultures and conversations and communities, we'll survive far bigger things than this. The first TED Talk I ever did was actually on Hilton Head Island, and it was on the topic of hurricanes are Mother Nature's natural form of empathy.
Hmm.
When Mother Nature destroys, she actually brings communities together. And I hope that we can capitalize that and take care of our brothers and sisters across the aisle.
Well, you've branched out with your message of gratitude and empathy from around a dinner table, branching that into corporate. So let's talk about the book.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the book. It's going a little bit further. Gratitude and Pasta, The Secret Sauce for Human Connection. You know, Forbes called it one of the top three books in 2020 to create human connections. USA Today has called you the gratitude guru. So what about the book? What made that happen, and how's that going?
So the book, I don't know how much time I have for a quick story, but the book's idea started in Saturday, October 6th of 2018.
Got that down.
We're out in Seattle at a good buddy's wedding, and you know, I knew the bride and the groom from New York City, but the bride grew up in Seattle. So when we get out to the wedding and we're at the reception, the bride's family takes their turns walking up to the New York table to thank us for making the trip. And every time the bride's mother, the bride's father, the bride's godfather would come say thank you, I'd stand up and ask them my gratitude question. It's just kind of what I do. I don't like small talk. And so every single one of them cried. And the bride's mother, she said, my God, this is a great question. I might even use it in my work. Can he take a walk with me? I said, sure. So she brings me over to the cousin's table and she looks at them and says, this is Chris, Phoebe's friend from New York. He's going to write a book about the findings of a question he's about to ask you. I say, what? Am I? Well, that was news to me, but that was a pretty good idea. So we made them cry. We went on with the night. And later on in the evening, out of the corner of my eyes, I see the bride's father gently grab the wrist of an older gentleman way across the party, way across the venue. And he starts walking him briskly my way. I mean, I know he's walking right towards me across the crowd of people, over the dance floor, past the bar, past the food, right up to me and says, Chris, you got to ask Bill the question. You got to ask Bill the question. That was his best friend, Bill Gates.
Oh, wow.
And I said, all right, let's do it. Before I had the chance to ask him, one of their other friends whisked him away. And I said, shit, I lost the opportunity of a lifetime. My girlfriend and I end up on the dance floor. Bill and Melinda start dancing with us. We all get tired and we go our separate ways. I put my hand in my head and I look at my girlfriend and I say, I just lost the opportunity of a lifetime. I said, no, you didn't. He's right over there. Go ask him. You'll regret it the rest of your life if you don't. So Bill, Melinda, Molly, myself, spent a heck of a long time that night talking about life's most intimate topics. When I got back to New York City, I realized Phoebe's mom was right. This is exactly what this book is going to be about. See, prior to that, we were interested in writing about empathy or vulnerability or connection or whatever, all that shit. No, gratitude. Gratitude is what got us to sit down with Bill and Melinda Gates. Gratitude is what got us to sit down with a 4-year-old kid on Skid Row, homeless kid on Skid Row. that's what I would dedicate the rest of my life to. So this book was our attempt to get out what we've been doing for so many years. We did it, and the book launch was supposed to be April 7th of 2020. That didn't work out. Canceled the whole book tour, canceled the whole years of events, refunded all our clients, you know, saying what's next. And when we pivoted to virtual, because we didn't have any chance, I'm addicted to gathering people. Mm-hmm. And I knew at the start of COVID, we couldn't just sit on our thumbs and do nothing. We had to figure this shit out via Zoom. We had to serve the people. We had to get them to cry. We had to get them to, I don't know, feel some sort of way. And that's how our pivot to virtual went. But we realized an important lesson is that we didn't need the dinner table. We didn't need the pasta sauce. And that gratitude was the star. So our next book, and y'all are literally the first ones to hear this.
Drum roll, please.
Our next book will be coming out on April 7th, 2022. It'll just be about the science and the psychology of gratitude. And so removing the pasta, going forward, and instead of traveling around the world promoting gratitude dinners, we travel around our Zoom rooms promoting virtual gratitude experiences that could be done at any time of the day, on any time zone, for any group size, whether it's 20 people or in Harvard and in the U.S. Navy's case, about 60,000 people. And now it can scale. What's been so important in wrapping up, what's been so important is to acknowledge and admit that life is a series of reinvention. You know, our role as leaders is to constantly reinvent ourselves. Our role as community people is to constantly reinvent our community. And the only way that we can be humble enough to acknowledge that is if we have gratitude for others. Because humility is what creates great servant leaders like yourself. Like so many people that work and live on this island. And to admit that we're not perfect is the key to innovation and change. Is that when life hands you bad shit, sit with it. Don't ignore it. When you're down in the trenches and life's going bad, look around at who's down there with you. The people that you survive tough things with, that's true connection. It's not when we're riding high and achieving good things that we find our good friend. Those are fast friends. Mm-hmm. So to admit that you're imperfect, right? To admit that you have scars and you'll create scars every day. I still do bad things to myself because I still hate myself. But that's what makes me hungry to succeed and have an impact on others. And that's what we all have the opportunity to do.
Thanks everyone for listening to today's Hilton Head Island Bluffton Chamber 5 Questions With podcast. We encourage you to tune in for future episodes. We're going to be talking with more thought leaders from throughout the Lowcountry. So tune in for future shows and future podcasts with the Hilton Head Island Bluffton Chamber.